All right. So it's almost Pesach, which is exciting. So I thought we would do an idea. It's based on a talk of the Rebbe about the fact that we have three matzahs and four cups, and what the meaning behind that is, and because obviously everything by the Seder, there's the literal meaning and reasons why we do things, but obviously the Seder is not just a ritual, and it's not just to remember what happened more than 3,000 years ago. The whole purpose of the Seder is to re-experience Metzias Mitzrayim, and to experience our own Metzias Mitzrayim. And everything that we do at the Seder is there to enable us to do that, to go out of our own Mitzrayim, like we'll discuss, and what that means. And really, the centerpiece of the Seder are these two things, the three matzahs and the four cups of wine. So, on a literal, simple level, the reason we'll read inside in a moment, but the reason why we have four cups of wine and three matzahs is a biblical commandment. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Oh, not three matzahs. Matzah is a biblical commandment to have a kazayis of matzah on Pesach night. The reason why we have three is this is a very simple halachic reason for it, because since we break a matzah, and we know that we have to break a matzah because the Torah refers to matzah as lechem oini, as poor man's bread. We know that a poor man doesn't have a full loaf, so the idea that we break it. The problem is, it's also Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov we have to have what's called lechem mishnah, two complete loaves of bread, or in this case matzah. So because we break one of the matzahs, we have to actually have three matzahs, and that way we have two full ones and one broken one. Now, that's the simple halachic explanation why we have three matzahs. Why do we have four cups of wine? So this is a rabbinic mitzvah. It's not a biblical mitzvah to have four cups of wine on Pesach night. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. And what's the reason for it? So if you have a look inside over here where it says Aleph, this is, what I'm reading now is actually not the original text of the talk. It's a book by Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who was the, he passed away a few years ago. He was the sort of the chief, it was called the Choyzer. He was the one who would stand by the Rebbe's Fabrengens on Shabbos and memorize the entire thing. So a lot of what we have from the Rebbe today is from his memory. Many of the talks were then edited by the Rebbe, but nevertheless, he was the one who transcribed them, and he was also considered the authority of Hasidic thought in our generation. He was an absolute genius, and he had that tremendous mind. Anyways, this is a book written on Yom Tovim, where he sort of puts together, sometimes it's a combination of a few talks. So he says like this, Yerushalmi Psachim Nemar. In the Gemara Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, Psechtes Psachim, it says, Sh'arba ha'koyse sh'leil ha'seder, niskunu keneged arba l'shoyne shal ge'ula. It's a famous idea. The four cups on the Seder night is instituted corresponding to the four expressions of redemption. Shenemru b'tchilas parshas vo'eira, which is said at the beginning of Parshas Vo'era. So the beginning of Parshas Vo'era, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go to go to Paroi, and Hashem tells him what's going to happen. And he uses four expressions of Geula. It says, V'hitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lokachti, which means I will take out, I will save, I will redeem, and I will take. Hashem is saying, I, meaning Hashem, will take you out, will save them, will redeem them, and take them as his nation. So that's the simple reason that everyone knows that we have four cups of wine. HaMordechai makshal zeh. There's a commentary on the Gemara. It's called the Mordechai. Not to be confused with Mordechai at Tzadik of Purim. It's two different people. The Mordechai is one of the Rishonim, one of the early commentaries on the Gemara. And he asks the following question. He says, Arei gam achilas ha-matzes hi ashum shenigalu. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach night? What's the reason for matzah? Not three. Why do we eat matzah in general? So we say it in Haggadah, right? One of the things we say is Rabbi Gamliel says that you have to explain the reasons of the three mitzvahs, Pesach, matzah, and Maror. And what do we say? Matzah al shumma. Why do we eat matzah al shum shenigalu aviseinu in Mitzrayim? That when we were redeemed, Hashem revealed himself, and we didn't have enough time to for the bread to rise. So in other words, matzah is one of the things that is zecher, is a remembrance to the geula. Right, so on the Seder night, just to give understanding what he's saying here, on the Seder night we do different things to remember different things. So we do things to remember the slavery. For example, the maror, of course, the charoises, just to remember the cement. And then we do things to remember the redemption, like four cups of wine, which is the idea of the basic idea of the four cups of wine is to express freedom, right? And to correspond to the four expressions of redemption. Matzah is also has to do with the redemption. Matzah has to do with the fact that we left in such a rush that we didn't have enough time for the bread to rise. There is this idea that the Ibn Ezra says, you know, it's based on what we say in the first paragraph of Magid. We say, Hey Lach Ma'anya, or we say, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. And Ibn Ezra says, why does it say in Egypt? Should have said we ate when we left Egypt. So the Ibn Ezra says that he saw in Africa that they served to their prisoners, they served to their slaves matzah, because apparently it takes a while to digest and it fills them up for longer. So it's an economical way of feeding slaves. So he says that in Mitzrayim, they actually used to serve the Yidden matzah while they were working. That's his novel. Right. Besides that, we also ate. Yeah, that was also part of the redemption. Right. That was the Seder in Egypt. That was all to prepare for the Geula. But for the most part, we know the reason why we eat matzah is because, you're right, it is a little complicated. Because they ate matzah in Egypt, then they ate matzah the next day, or when they left Egypt, right? Because they never have time to rise. But the bottom line is that matzah has to do with the redemption. That's the case. In Cain, the Mordechai asks, if so, liboi arba lechamim, you should need four breads. You should need four matzahs, corresponding to the four expressions of redemption. Umadua loichim onu rak sholosh matzahs, why do we do only three? So in other words, the halachic explanation I gave you before is only an explanation why we don't only have two. Like every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have two. So why do we have three? The reason is because we break one. But the Mordechai is asking, fine, I understand why two is not enough, but we should have four, corresponding to the four expressions of redemption. Maybe a Mordechai tam acher l'shtiyas arba koses. But like I say, the Mordechai actually goes and brings different reasons why we drink four cups of wine, because this reason is not good enough for it. Because if just for this reason, we should have four matzahs. But we still have to explain this reason, because the Gemara brings the reason. Right? So obviously it's a legitimate reason. There's other reasons brought, like it says four times the word kois, between the whole story of Yosef and the butler, right? When the person in prison had a dream. So it says over there four times the word kois, four times the word cup. And since the whole story of Yosef is how the Jewish people landed in Egypt to begin with, just to remember that, we actually have four cups. There's many different reasons given. But this is the reason that corresponds to that the Gemara tells us. There's another reason which we'll connect soon, and that has to do with the four imois, right? Our four mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And the matzahs is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That doesn't really explain anything, because why? Why isn't the matzahs Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and the cups of wine Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? We'll see, we'll connect it all soon. Okay. So he brings the crux of the idea, and then we'll develop it. So HaRebbe's Yom Mevarei Soinin. So the Rebbe explains, Al Picha Lukas L'Shoynes HaGeula L'Shnei Soinin. He divides these four expressions of redemption into two categories. The Sholosh HaLashoynes HaRishoynes. There's the first three expressions, Voitzesi, V'Yitzalti, V'Goalti. Nemru B'Shaiches L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Those three expressions were said in connection to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Where do we see that? Look at the pasuk. It says, "Vayitzesi eschem bitachas sivlois Mitzrayim." Hashem says, "I will take you out of the sivlois, like the load, the affliction of Egypt." "Vihitzalti eschem avidosam," I will save you from their work. "Vigoalti eschem," and I will redeem you, bezroya natuya, with an outstretched arm. So we see clearly the first three expressions have to do with the exodus from Egypt, going out of Mitzrayim. She'en kein haloshin harevius. On the other hand, the fourth expression says, "V'lokachtem eschem li la'om." Hashem says, "I will take you for me as a nation." Loi nizkeru b'pasul kechelik ma'yitziyah Mitzrayim atz. But that is actually not in reference to the going out of Egypt. The first three expressions are saying, "I'm going to save you from Egypt. I'll take you out from Egypt. I'll save you from Egypt. I'll redeem you from Egypt." The fourth expression is just saying, "I'm going to take you as my nation." And in fact, he says, "Adrab." On the contrary, Ladas kama mefarshim, according to many mefarshim, Inyan ze nifal rak b'matan Torah. This idea is only actually happened at Matan Torah. When did we become Hashem's nation? At Matan Torah. In fact, when we say every day in Davening, we say Uvonu v'chartam b'kol am v'loshem, that you chose us from all other nations. We're supposed to have in mind Matan Torah. Then you can ask the question, if that's the case, so why is V'lokachti in this pasuk? This pasuk is talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so why are you bringing a fourth thing that seemingly has nothing to do with it? It's totally independent. It has to do with the giving of the Torah. So, that's what he says. Zeh shegam aloshon V'lokachti nichleles barbal l'shoyin shogil gulam Mitzrayim. This, that this expression of V'lokachti is included in the four expressions of redemption from Mitzrayim, because by Matan Torah, the redemption from Mitzrayim reached its purpose and its completion. Up until Matan Torah, the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim, as Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu on the burning bush, he says, when you'll take them out of Mitzrayim, for what? Not just to become free, to serve God on this mountain. The whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to become Hashem's nation on Har Sinai. So on the one hand, it's all one process, but it's two different parts of the process. So the first three, Tseisi V'Yitzalti V'Go'alti, has to do with the actual redemption from Egypt. And then there's V'Lokachti Eschem Li'Lam, I will take you as a nation for me, says Hashem. That's the fourth part, that's Matan Torah. And that's the goal and the purpose and the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nimtza comes out, Sha'ag'ula mi'mitzrayim koilele shnei inyomim. Comes out that the redemption of Mitzrayim includes within itself two things. There's Yetzias Mitzrayim keshi'i la'atzma, there's going out of Egypt. Inyin zem mizbata b'sholish ha'lishonis and l'shonis. This idea is expressed in the first three. Vo'itzesi v'hitzalti v'go'alti. And beis tachlisa v'shlei musa shla geulam mitzrayim. Then there's the purpose and the completion of the redemption. Is ma'amatan Torah inin zem is bata b'arba l'shaynus kulam. That's in the fourth expression. So according to this, the Rebbe says like this: pisa yeshloimar. According to this, we can say shegam shalosh amatzah shaloichim l'seder hen keneged l'shaynus agula. Comes out actually that the three matzahs are also corresponding to the expressions of redemption. Just the first three, not the fourth. V'ahevdil bin sholosh ha-matzahs la'arba ha-koisos, so the difference between the three matzahs and the four cups, sha-ha-matzahs him keneged sholosh ha-lishoyne sholah-geula shenemru b'kesher li'tzias Mitzrayim atzma. The matzahs correspond to the first three that are in connection to the actual exodus from Mitzrayim. V'ilu arba ha-koises, but the four cups, hen keneged arba ha-lashoynus kulon, ha-shaychus l'shleimusa shel ha-yitzia. The four cups correspond to all four, which includes within it the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Matan Torah. Okay, we haven't really explained anything. The question is, though, why is Yetzias Mitzrayim itself got to do with the matzah, and the Tachlis, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, have to do with the wine. That's what we still have to explain. That's what he says. Ashaychus ben Yetzias Mitzrayim atzma, l'sholish ha-lishoynus, l'sholish ha-matzah. The connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim itself to the three expressions and to the three matzahs. Ubein shleimuso shla yetzia mimitzrayim l'arba ha-lishoynus v'l'arba ha-koises. And the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the four expressions and to the four cups. Tuvon api biur in yonam apnimi shlam isparim shalosh v'arba. We're going to understand this through first understanding the deeper meaning of the numbers 3 and 4. Once he explains the idea of 3 and 4, we'll understand everything. We'll understand the connection between the first three to Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, the fourth one to Matan Torah. We'll understand why it's matzah and why it's wine, why the matzah is the 3 and the wine is the 4. We'll understand why the matzahs, the ovois, and the cups of wine are the imohis. We'll also understand, actually, we'll explain this at the end, why matzah is do'iraisa, why matzah is biblical, and why the four cups of wine are rabbinic. So all of that is going to come together when we understand the essence of it all, and that is the 3 and the 4. It's the 3 and the 4, and then we also have to understand what is actually the difference between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. What actually changed? What, it's one process. Essentially, it's understanding this whole next part of the year, right? Because it's Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shavuos. And those are not just three random things that happen to come together. Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shavuos is all one journey. It's really all the journey to Matan Torah. But in order to get there, you have to have a Pesach, and you have to have a Sfiras HaOmer, which in the combination of the two things is Shavuos. So first, let's understand the 3 and the 4. He's going to say like this. Hamisper Shalosh, the number 3, Roimez L'mashpia, hints, symbols, the Mashpia, the giver. Vahamisper Arba, the number 4, Roimez L'mekabel Hashefa. The number 4 resembles and expresses the receiver of whatever is being given. We're going to bring an example in a moment. So there's the giver and there's the receiver. There's the Mashpia and there's the Mekabel. Why? Why is that? So Kamaimer Chazal, Sha'oisi is Gimel Dalid. The letters themselves, the names of the letters, have a meaning. Everything in Lashon Kodesh is not just random. The fact that you call A and B doesn't actually have any meaning. But Aleph and Beis and Gimel, the names themselves have meaning. So the word Gimel and Dalid, Roimzois, the Gemara says, Ligmoil Dalim. Gimel sounds like Gemoil. Dalid sounds like Dalim. What does that mean? Gemoil Dalim means kindness to the poor or giving to the poor. So Ois Gimel Misameles es Hashefa Hanimshach Meha Mashpia. The Gimel is the Gemoil, is the giver. Right? The giver, the sustenance or whatever you're giving from the Mashpia. Ois Dalid Misameles es Kabolas Hashefa. B'kliya Mekabel, the letter Dalid, represents receiving whatever has been given, and what he calls over here the Klei HaMekabel, literally means the vessels of the receiver, meaning, we'll bring in a moment an example, so we'll understand this more, but every receiver has with what to receive whatever is being given.
That's why there's 3 patriarchs and 4 matriarchs.
Correct, exactly, yeah. Because we know that in Kabbalah it explains that the masculine energy is the giver, the feminine energy is the receiver, Shpia or Mekabel. That's why there's 3 avos and 4 imois. Right? Now, we'll see in a moment, it's not just because the letters mean that. It has to do with the number also. Like, why 3 and 4, right? We understand Gimel Dalet, but why the number? So he says, Hashefa kvishu nimshach mea mashpia ela Mekabel. That process of the mashpia giving to the Mekabel, yesh bei shalosh bechinois, there's 3 levels. There's 3 stages in that process. Kasheru niklat bepoil b'kliya mekabel. And when it is actually, niklat means when it's like permeated, when it's grabbed, when it's received, actually, when it's actually received in the mekabel, mitoisav by inyan ravi. Now we have a 4th thing, which is the kliya mekabel, which is the vessel of the mekabel, which is the receptacle of the mekabel. So there's 3 stages in the mashpia giving, and then there's the 4th stage, which is the mekabel being mekabelit. So let's have a look at the example so we actually understand what we're talking about. Lavora sa'inyin, to explain this concept. Nishtamish bedugma mirav hamashpia seichel letalmid she'eino berakakal. This is a typical example in Chassidus, the example of Rav and Talmud. The reason why it's an example, now, it's not just a Rav and a Talmud, right? This is very important to understand. When we say a Rav and Talmud in Chassidus as an example, it's usually brought to explain the concept of tzimtzum, as it is here. And the idea is that the Rav and the Talmud is not just, the Rav is not just smarter than the Talmud. The Rav and the Talmud live in 2 different worlds totally. For example, it says like the Rav is spiritual and the Talmud is physical. So you're trying to, the Rav is trying to give seichel, in this case, intellect, an idea. But the idea, the way it's in the Rav, is not, he speaks a totally different language than the Talmud. Not just, like he speaks different, he lives in a different realm. He's what's called Be'ein Aroich, he's infinitely higher. Which is then, we have an example for Hashem and the world, for example, right? That's the example. B'kivan sha'atalmid einoy musugel lahasig es oymek sichle shoharav. Because the Talmud is not really possible, he's not really able to grasp the depth of the intellect of the Rav. Lachain, kedei shaharav yuchal lahashpia misichle l'talmid. In order for the Rav to give from his intellect to the student, behechrech shaharav yitzamtzim misichle v'yasim v'ylov. So the Rav has to go through a process called tzimtzum. He has to take that intellectual idea, whatever he's trying to explain to him, and put it through this process of tzimtzum so it should be able to be received by the mekabel. So seder ha'ashpa atzma yeshloish shlovim. So there are three stages in this tzimtzum. Tchilasa is aleph, the first stage. Tchilasa shel ha'talich yibekach, the beginning of the process is sheharav moitze es hagdoras v'nekudas harayon ha'metzumtzum sheberitzoynoi lahavri l'talmidoi u'mavdilo mesichloi ha'amuk. The first thing that the Rav has to do is, it's all happening within the Rav. He has to first of all figure out what he wants to give to the Talmud. He knows he can't give everything. He has an idea, but the way the idea is in the Rav includes depth that he can't even give to the Talmud at all. So first thing he has to do is he has to separate, what do I want to give? A much lower part of his intellect that he wants to transmit to the Talmud. But nekudazu, in this nekuda, in this idea, nichlolim behelim kol protei ha'inyin hakshurim l'ramas ha'talmid shebedas harav l'lam demoiz. Is included, albeit in a concealed way, all the details that he wants to give to the Talmud. At this stage, there aren't details. He's just separating the nekuda, the idea, the crux of the idea that he wants to transmit. Beis, the second stage is, achakach bo hashlav, then the Rav, in the brain of the Rav, has to develop all the details, how he's going to explain it, what he's going to explain, right? All the various details of the idea in order to give it to the Talmud. Shnei shlovim eila, these two stages, himachana lahashpas haseichel l'talmid, is the preparation of giving the seichel to the Talmud. Then comes Gimel. Then comes the stage of the actual giving. We're not talking about how it's been received by the Talmud. We're talking about now the Rav is actually giving it. This is a further stage in the Tzimtzum. When the Rav actually says it with his mouth, verbally to the Talmud, the seichel is now going through another tzimtzum. The fact that the idea is now coming into words is another tzimtzum. So there's three levels in the tzimtzum. Number one, he has to separate the idea that he wants to give. Then he has to develop the idea, how he's going to give it, and then he actually gives it. The actually giving it is another shlav, is another stage of the tzimtzum, because when we have to put something into actual words, it has to be brought down a notch as well. So that's the first three. So the first three are all in the process of hashpa, of giving. And then dalid, then comes the fourth stage, achrei kol zois, habechino ha-revis, ha-seichu, kvishu iskabu bikli sichle shel ha-talmid. Then there's the intellect, the way it has actually been received by the Talmud. He toisif ba shetach ha-mekabel. So what's been added here now is literally, it means like the plane, the area of the mekabel. Meaning, now there's something else here. Ha-skola k'fishu mitzuyeres b'sichle shel ha-talmid atzmo. Now there's the way the student understands it. The way the student understands it is not necessarily actually the same exact way that the Rav gave it to him. Even when the Rav puts it into words, it's the Rav putting it into words. It's still the Rav. The Talmud then listens and absorbs it according to their way of understanding things. So it's actually a further tzimtzum. It's now gone into a totally different world when the mekabel has been mekabel the seichel. So what he's trying to bring out over here is that in the process of giving, there are three stages. And then the fourth stage is the actual receiving. And that's the gimel and the dalet, the gemoil dalim, the giving to the poor. Poor over here in this context doesn't mean a negative sense. It means the one who's missing something, so they have to receive. Right? And the giver has it and gives it to the receiver. And that's the three and the four. So al derech zeh, so similarly, b'nei geya l'shtei ha-bechinois, should be Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have these two levels of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ha-ge'ulok v'yishoysa b'tes vav b'nissen. There's the redemption that happened on the 15th day of Nissan. And then v'ha-shleimu shalo k'vishenigra v'matan Torah, and the completion that happened in Matan Torah. Ha-ge'ulok v'mitzrayim b'tes vav b'nissen. Hoyso kol kula mipneishen nigla aleya melech malchim ablochim akadosh baruch hu golem. So this is a very fundamental idea. Now I'll say this part outside. The geula from Mitzrayim had nothing to do with the avoda of the Jewish people. This is a fundamental idea to do with Pesach. This is the difference between Pesach and Elul. So we get to Elul. We'll talk about Elul. Now we'll focus on Pesach. Pesach is what we call milamayla lamata. It's from above to below. Meaning, the Jewish people actually were not worthy at all for Yitzias Mitzrayim. As it brings over here, it says, "Vat orim ve'eria." It says we were literally undressed. We were undressed from mitzvahs. We had nothing to show for ourselves. Zero. Right? We know that the Jewish people sunk to the 49th level of impurity. Right? So there was nothing of them that equaled you now go out of Mitzrayim. Not only physically, but especially spiritually. And we talk about going out of Mitzrayim, we obviously don't really mean the geographical place called Egypt. We mean the idea of, as we'll explain in a moment, of going out of our limitations, of going out of our human limitations and connecting to an infinite God. And there was nothing of us that was leading toward that direction. It was all because of one reason. As we say in the Haggadah, Nigla Aleihem Melech Malchim Halachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Uga'olam, that Hashem revealed Himself and redeemed them. It was purely a revelation coming from somewhere else, from outside of us, that was pulling us toward it. We were just swept up in this godly revelation, in this unbelievable Gilui Milamayla, this unbelievable revelation from above. No, we did, but we'll get to that in a moment. I'll explain how that fits into the neshama and yeah. Then comes Matan Torah. So the first stage, the Exodus from Egypt, the first three, Vaitseisi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, is all the Mashpia. There's no Mekabel yet. Right, it's just that now there's a makabel in the sense that we went out of Mitzrayim, but it was all happening in the world of the on the terms of the mashpia. It had nothing. We didn't receive anything. When I say receive, we didn't change. We were not affected. We call in Hasidic terminology bipnimius, in an internal way. Nothing about us changed. We were just transfixed and transformed and transported through this revelation coming from above. And that's why Tesvav Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, the Exodus of Egypt, is hinted in the first three. Vayitzeisi, Vitzalti, V'go'alti. Because it's all the Mashpia. It's all the giver. It's all Hashem. The goal is Matan Torah. Matan Torah is when it was given to us, Pnimius, when we changed. When we actually, something happened to us. And how did that happen? What happened between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah? And the answer to that is Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is, as we know, the famous idea. It's 7 weeks, right? And each week has 7 days, and it's 49 days. So it corresponds to the seven middas. And every middah includes the other middah, right? Chesed Shabbat Chesed, Chesed Shabbat Gvura, etc. And the idea is that during those 49 days, we work on our character. What does that mean, we work on our character? We work on ourselves that we should become godly. That my chesed is now godly. My gevura is godly. When we went out of Mitzrayim, my chesed was not godly, actually. My chesed was animalistic. Fully governed by my animal souls. We'll get to it in a moment. The yid was just pulled. And sort of pulled from above, from something outside of them. Nothing about them left Mitzrayim. In other words, it was almost as if they left Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim didn't really leave them. Right? In other words, they were still in Mitzrayim. They just weren't because someone else took them out. It's like a physical analogy would be if like you pull something, but it was really still attached to the other side. The second you let go, it goes right back. Right? So technically, yeah, you're out. But you're not really out. And it's not only a physical thing. Those two things can even be spiritual. Meaning to say, there's this concept, explains in Chassidus many places, called the Nesrusa de Le'ela and Nesrusa de Le'sata. Nesrusa de Le'ela means an arousal from above. Many times it happens, it says in Chassidus, that many times someone just gets inspired out of the blue for no reason. Why does that happen? It says that there's various heavenly declarations that happen that we were not sensitive to, but our neshama, the way it exists up there, is sensitive to it. And sometimes it hears these declarations, which are all about telling Yidden to do tshuva, and that sort of filters down to our consciousness. So we get this like wake-up call. And the truth is, not only it doesn't only have to be that spiritual. It can be even you went to a shir, you went to a fabrengen, you had an experience. I don't know. You went to Israel. You know, you put yourself in a spiritual atmosphere, but it wasn't you. It was the atmosphere that schlepped you. You were affected. Of course, you were affected. You might have left Egypt, but Egypt's still in you. You're still not changed. Because the only way to change you, this is really the point there, the only way to really change you is if you do the change. Nothing outside of you can do that change. If it's coming from outside of you, it will remain outside of you. In order for you to really change, in order for you to really leave Mitzrayim, it needs to come from within you. What does that mean? Let's sort of say this in a different way. So we all know that we have two neshamas, right? We have a nefesh elokis and a nefesh habahamas. So who's the you? Okay, that's a very big question, right? Who's the real you? So really, actually, the truth is it depends what you mean when you ask that question. Ultimately, intrinsically, the real you is the nefesh elokis. That's true, the godly soul. But in Tanya, it actually says that for a beinoni, for sure, for lower than a beinoni, but even a beinoni, who beinoni is, says in Tanya, someone who always does the right thing, it says that the nefesh habahamis, he ha'odam atzmai. That is the person. What does he mean by that? That's the consciousness of the person. By a tzaddik, even the consciousness is the nefesh elokis. The tzaddik thinks, feels, speaks, acts. Everything about the tzaddik is the nefesh elokis. Everyone else besides for a tzaddik, their consciousness, the way they operate, is the nefesh habahamis. However, we have nefesh elokis also. So the nefesh elokis is actually considered a little bit to be like above you. It's not you. Again, in this context, we're talking about the real Yid, and ultimately you're ready to give up your life for Yiddishkeit. Okay, that's all true. But we're talking about on a conscious level. On a conscious level, the me is the nefesh habahamis, and the nefesh elokis is sort of a gift given to me, or it's there sort of inspiring me from above. Now, a Yid's connection to Hashem happens on two levels. First of all, there's emunah, faith. What does emunah mean? Emunah means, or where does emunah come from? Emunah comes from the fact that I have a neshama, and that neshama is a chelik alikami mal mamish, it's a part of Hashem. And therefore, it is godliness. Emunah doesn't mean I understand it, and I need to rationally understand it and convince myself. And emunah actually is a revelation from above. Emunah is a godly feeling that is just in me, because it's there, not because I worked for it. Right? It's basically the neshama revealing itself. Now, many times what happens is when the neshama reveals itself, it affects the nefesh habahamis also. In other words, it affects us as well. We live that emunah, we act based on that emunah. But at the end of the day, it's not the nefesh habahamis. You can't say, because of Yid has emunah is not going to fundamentally change your nefesh habahamis. Because emunah is coming from outside of the nefesh habahamis. Emunah is coming from the nefesh elokis. You want to change the nefesh habahamis, you have to do it through the nefesh. The nefesh habahamis has to learn. You have to understand. You have to understand it on a level that the nefesh habahamis could understand it. Talk the nefesh habahamis' language, and on that level, convince the nefesh habahamis that it's good to serve Hashem. And then the nefesh habahamis itself comes on side. Right? By default, the nefesh habahamis wants to enjoy life, wants to enjoy this world. But if you talk its language and you tell him, you know, you really want good, you want to have enjoyment, you know what the real enjoyment is? Godliness. So you're not talking nefesh elokis language now. Nefesh elokis language is subservience and There's nothing else besides for Hashem. Here you're talking Nefesh HaBahamas language. It's good to be connected to Hashem. It's enjoyable. It's the real life. It's real meaning, right? The advantage of that is that's coming from the Nefesh HaBahamas. So that changes the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's actually changed. When something comes from above, the thing that it's affecting doesn't really change because it's coming from outside of it. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily last. Right, as soon as that inspiration's gone, I'm back to my default settings. In other words, when something comes from above, the default settings don't change. The current settings change, not the default. As soon as the inspiration goes, you're back to who you really are. When you work from within, when you do Sfiras HaOmer, right, when you do character development, not coming from this unbelievable revelation, no. When you go nitty-gritty into the character trait and you work with it and you change it, then you really change.
But right. Even if enemy doesn't achieve that.
Yeah, on the ultimate form. Correct. But on some level, we have to. Yeah, you're right. Ultimately, we'll never really change because we're not tzaddikim. Right? But at least we do change. We do grow. Right? We move towards that. Even a Beinoni has Ava, Yira, Davins, right? There is a transformation. It just maybe not fully. It doesn't fully take them through. But nevertheless, the avoid of Yid is to try and transform the Nefesh HaBahamas, for sure. So that's the difference in Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sfiras HaOmer. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Emunah. That's why we know that Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah, right? It's the idea of this revelation from above, blasting in us this belief to Hashem. We follow Hashem blindly, we leave Mitzrayim. But we didn't become Hashem's nation, because we were still in Egypt. Technically we weren't, but really we were. Through Sfiras HaOmer, we worked on ourselves, we actually changed. Then comes the fourth expression. What's the fourth expression? V'lokachtem eschem li la'om. You became for me a nation. The first three doesn't say anything about the receiver. It just says, I will redeem them, I will save them, I will take them out. It's all Hashem doing it. That's the first three, that's the mashpia. The fourth one is, yeah, Hashem says, I'll take them, but I'll take them as a nation. Their status changes. They change. Through the Avodah Sfiras HaOmer, ultimately leading to Matan Torah, which is when we become Hashem's nation. So now, if that's the case, so why do we need the first three? Let's just go straight to Sfiras HaOmer. If whatever happens from above doesn't really change me, so then what's the point? Let's just start off, Sfiras HaOmer. Start working on yourself. Why is there a Pesach? Right, is that a question? Why is it the first three? Let's just go to the fourth. If the first three anyways don't really affect me, it's all the Mashpia, it's all in the Mashpia's world, it's all in the on it's all from above. It's like a good inspirational experience, it doesn't last anyway. So go straight to the work. Start working on yourself. And through that you'll leave Mitzrayim. The answer is very, very important. And that's why Pesach is the first Yom Tov. Because here's the problem. The problem is, there's a sort of a catch-22 here. What are we trying to achieve? What is the goal of everything? The goal of everything is to connect to Hashem. What does it mean to connect to Hashem? Connecting to Hashem means that we are connecting to an infinite God, right, who transcends everything. Transcends all of our limitations, transcends any limitations. We, on the other hand, are finite human beings, extremely limited and extremely finite. So the problem is, how can a finite being connect to an infinite being? And the truth is, it's actually impossible. If you just leave the finite being to its own devices, it can never krich out of his finiteness. It can never get out of it. As is this famous expression, Ein chavush matres atzmei beis asurim. Someone who's stuck in jail can't free their own chains. We are stuck in ourselves. That's what it means to be human. We are stuck in our own limitations. So how can we ever leave Mitzrayim? The answer is we can't leave Mitzrayim. Hashem can take us out of Mitzrayim. Through a revelation of godliness, of nigla leim melech malchem lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does that mean? Hashem revealing himself in all of his glory, in his full infinite self, we can then be lost and transported to that infinite reality. So it needs to happen through him. The problem is, if it happens through him, then it's not me. So it doesn't really affect me. Right? So in other words, step one needs to be Pesach. Step one needs to be, that's the whole idea. Going out of Mitzrayim, we know the famous idea. Mitzrayim means boundaries. Mitzrayim means fences, boundaries, limitations. Going out of Mitzrayim cannot happen through the person themselves. Because the person themselves can never actually leave their own limitation. It needs to happen through a higher reality. Through Hashem who transcends us. And what's the avoda then? What are we... Now, Pesach is not purely a passive experience. It doesn't mean like we just sit and do nothing. The avoda of Pesach is surrender to that reality. The idea of, it's not about me. To totally let go of our ego. To forget about what I think, and what I feel, and what I want, and what I... The I is totally ignored on Pesach. There is no I. Which is the whole idea of matzah. The whole idea of matzah is, unlike chametz is ego, matzah is zero ego. It's flat, it's tasteless. Right? So the avoda of Pesach is to lose yourself in the infinite reality of Hashem.
Which explains also why so many people wouldn't be
eating. Correct. Yeah. It's not easy to surrender. Right? Surrender is very difficult. And we say that Pesach happens because of a revelation. Especially nowadays. Maybe the first time around it was purely through a revelation. But nowadays, everything comes through avoda. But the avoda is not about what do I feel? Do I feel godliness? Do I understand godliness? No. The whole idea of Pesach is to ignore the I entirely. Get rid of the ego. As you know, the famous idea, chametz asur b'mashu. Chametz is forbidden, even a crumb of chametz is forbidden. A crumb of ego on Pesach is treif. Because the whole idea of Pesach is surrender to that infinite reality. And that's the only way you can leave your Mitzrayim. You can't leave Mitzrayim when you're still stuck in yourself. The problem is, but there's still a me, though. Maybe I ignored it. Maybe I pushed it away. But I have a mind. And Hashem created me with a mind. With a way of thinking. Hashem created me with a heart. To have feelings. Right? I have a personality. I have a character. Pesach doesn't affect any of that. All Pesach does is it puts that asleep. It says, forget about that. And just surrender to Hashem. Absolute bittul. That's the avoda of Pesach is bittul. Total subservience. Hashem. As it says in the Pasuk, Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar, we say this in Rosh Hashanah David, it comes from the Novi. We followed Hashem into the desert, blindly. Even spiritually, that's what it means. The problem is, what do I do with the me then? It was never really affected, like we said before. If it comes from above, then doesn't affect the Mekabel. There is no Mekabel. It's just the Mekabel just says to the Mashpia, I'm yours. But the Mekabel doesn't receive anything. The Mekabel doesn't change. That's why you need the second stage. The second stage is, once I've gone out of myself, once I've become connected to that infinite reality of Hashem, through the matzah, through the subservience, through the bittul, then I can then bring that into my personality. I can transform my mind, that even my mind should be connected to that infinite reality. I can transform my feelings, that even my feelings should not be regular human feelings which are stuck in their own ego, but it should be feelings which are godly. And even my behavior should be godly. Right? That's the idea. So you need stage one before stage two. Because if you start with stage two, you're still stuck in yourself. You need to go out of yourself and then bring that infinity into yourself. And that's Pesach Sfiras HaOmer, which leads to Shavuos. And that's the first three expressions and the fourth expression. First three expressions is the Mashpia. The fourth expression is the Mekabel, when the Mekabel becomes transformed.
The beautiful leaven
blows. Sorry?
The beautiful leaven blows.
On Shavuos, you have to have chametz. Exactly. That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but where's the wine, though?
Oh, hold on. We'll get the wine in a second. But on Shavuos, you have to have chametz, because chametz then becomes a good thing. Because then, chametz then doesn't mean ego. Chametz then means the me, which I subjugated on Pesach, is now transformed. Is now on side with the Nefesh Elikis. My Nefesh HaBahamis is transformed. Now, since this is the whole purpose of Pesach, Therefore, on Pesach itself, we introduce something in the Seder which is about the goal as well. So really, matzah is Pesach. That's what Pesach is, subservience, right? Surrender to this infinite reality, this infinite revelation. But in the Seder itself, we have something which resembles the goal as well. And that's the four cups of wine. Because we know that in Kabbalah, wine is associated with bina. Wine is associated with understanding. Even on a simple level, wine is enjoyable. Matzah has no taste, wine has taste. What does that mean? Wine represents the idea of understanding, when you relate to something, when it enters into your reality. You're not surrendering to it, rather it is now a part of you and you can enjoy it. When you surrender to something, it's more done in the way of Kabbalah soil, obedience. You say, I do. It has nothing to do with, well, I enjoy it, I don't enjoy it, it's irrelevant. Then when I bring it back to myself, the idea is then to have a geschmack in it, to enjoy it, that it should be a part of my reality, and that's the wine. Which is why there's three matzahs and four cups of wine. Because the matzah represents the first three levels, represents the revelation, the mashpia, me surrendering to the mashpia. The wine represents the mekabel, the receiver being transformed, which is the four. Right, the fourth level, and that's the fourth expression, v'lokachti eschem li la'om, that we become a nation, we change. Which is why we said it, going back to the beginning, we said that the three is the fathers and the four is the mothers. Same idea, mashpia and mekava. Which is also why the three matzahs are d'oiraisa, are biblical, and the four cups are d'rabbanan. Because within Torah itself, you have these two things. You have Torah shebiksav, you have the biblical mitzvahs. The biblical mitzvahs, the emphasis there is surrender. Hashem says, we listen. It's not subject to opinion, it's not subject to argument. There's a mitzvah, we do it, right? Rabbinic mitzvahs represent that we take ownership of the Torah. Meaning the rabbis representing the Jewish people, so to speak, obviously with the permission of Torah and within the system of Torah, but they contribute to the Torah. It's when the mekabel, The mitzvahs d'rabbanon represent the mekabel, the receiver. When we receive the Torah and the Torah becomes so much a part of us that we can even add to the Torah. And that's why the matzahs are d'oraisa, are biblical, and the wine, which represents the mekabel, being transformed, the receiver, it's d'rabbanon. So you have the whole journey there on Pesach night itself. Although the emphasis of that part of the journey is Sfiras Omer, but it's there on Pesach night as well. Okay. Pleasure.